But once again, thank you to all that help us to worship with your music. Again, whether that's in the small group or choir instruments or as a congregation singing out. And it's a joy to be able to come together again. This evening we are bringing to a close, I think this will be the last message, unless something would change this week. I'm anticipating this being the last message in our mini-series that we've entitled God's Word. And I'd like to introduce the message tonight just by bringing up a topic I think that's dear to most of our hearts, which is food, right? You know, when we think about food, we think about something that most of us enjoy, right? Why do we eat? And there's many, many different reasons, I think, that are not wrong, good reasons to eat. Why do we eat? Well, certainly food is enjoyable. And there are times we eat it simply because it's enjoyable, and God gives us good things to enjoy, and that's fine. Sometimes we eat because eating is fun, right? You know, somebody will sometimes say, hey, Dad, my daughters might say, hey, Dad, this is something new. Would you want to taste it? And it's fun because I've never tasted that, and I enjoy that, okay? Sometimes people eat because it brings them comfort. I hear this phrase, comfort foods. And maybe you had kind of a rough day, and it just helps you unwind a bit. That's not a bad thing. Sometimes we enjoy eating because of what's going on around the eating. It's an opportunity to fellowship. It's an opportunity to visit. Sometimes we eat because it helps us to celebrate events. And it might be a birthday or some other special occasion. We come together and we eat. But I haven't mentioned the most important reason we eat, and that's to stay alive, right? Let's not forget that. There is a necessity to eating food. Without eating food, we couldn't continue to live in this world. And it's in light of that that I think of the text, Job 23, verse 12. The second part says this, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. According to Job's testimony, chapter 23, verse 12, God's word is not even as important than the necessary food that we eat to stay alive. It is more important, which means that the risk of being overly literal, if we had to make a choice between food and God's word, at least based on this text, we would go with God's word. That's how important it is. That's how necessary it is. The title of the message tonight, simply, God's word is necessary. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come together tonight as an act of worship. We can close up this series on your word. It's been a joy to review yet again what a blessing it is to have in our hands the very words that you've breathed out and scripturated for us. And we pray, Lord, as we end tonight with just a practical emphasis that we would be encouraged, Lord, to spend the time we need to spend in the word, as we would seek to honor you with our lives. To that end, we pray that you'd help us even this evening. We'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm very thankful for the ministry of our previous pastor teacher, Dr. Stuart Custer. And I'm thankful that he has taught me many things, foundational truths, that have encouraged me. Nancy and I talk about some of these often, and even realize that maybe some other people haven't really got them yet. And that doesn't make me look down on the other people. It just makes me even more thankful for the good, encouraging teaching that we've had through the years. You say, truths like what? I've heard Dr. Custer say so many times, Christianity is not an official religion. It's a heart relationship. If you're a Christian, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you haven't heard a lot of this, then you're still used to hearing, I know I'm saved because I said a prayer when I was in VBS. But that's never what we've really heard from this pulpit for years and years and years. Even though your relationship with Christ may have begun at VBS with the prayer. If you're a Christian, you're a Christian because you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means you know God. And you know God because you have a relationship with Him, because you know His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the essence of being a Christian. So, as people that know God, it is certainly required, right, that we would fellowship with Him. And that's the point tonight. Tonight's going to be kind of a different message, a topical message, a practical message that I hope will encourage you. I'm concerned that I don't want to discourage anyone tonight. I hope that this message will encourage you just to realize how important it is that we all be in the Word. I'm making the point we need to fellowship with God. You can't know someone, really know them, and not have fellowship with them. You know, I think, for example, if I go backwards in time, there were guys I hung out with on my street 40, 50 years ago. And if you said, Greg, do you know them? I would say, no. I knew them 40 years ago, but I don't know them anymore, right? They're just a distant memory at best. See, and I would be honest enough to say that. You would say the same thing. Being a Christian is not saying, you know, 40 years ago, I fellowship with God, but it's all in the past. Being a Christian is actively fellowshipping with God, if Luke 17:3 really means what we understand it to mean, that I may know Him. So what does fellowship entail? It involves talking, right? If you have an ongoing relationship with someone, what do? You talk to that person. We call that prayer. So when I speak to the Lord, that's prayer. You say, so in my prayer time, Greg, I talk to God and He talks to me. If your Bible's open, yes. But if your Bible's closed, no. God does not speak to you in prayer time. You speak to God in prayer time. But for there to be fellowship, there needs to be two-way communication. So, and this is basic. I understand that. We talk to God. We call that prayer. God talks to us how? Through His Word. And so for me to be a Christian means I know God. For me to know God, not saying I used to know God, but for me to say I know God, that means I fellowship with God. To have fellowship with the person means I converse with Him. I talk, that's prayer. He talks, that's reading the Scriptures. This is true, again, in all parts of life. Just to make that clear. Again, it might be early in life you fellowship with somebody and then that changes. Or maybe in the middle years of life you fellowship with somebody and that changes. And then in the later years in life you fellowship with somebody. It always involves communication. So you talk and you listen. That's how you know a person. And apart from talking and listening, you can't know a person. And thus, if Christianity is knowing the one true God, then it's more than just a good idea that we would pray to the Lord and read His Word. It would be something we must do as we continue in our relationship with the Lord. Maybe I could put it this way. We need God's Word. Now, this message is not really on prayer, so I'm going to focus more on God's Word, even though certainly we need to pray. We must pray, but we also need God's Word. You say, why? Well, I'm just going to go through some verses that are going to be a review to establish the point of how important it is, and then we're going to talk about practically what that looks like. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means to listen to the voice of Jesus and to follow Him. John chapter 10, verse 27 says, what? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. A sheep is somebody who listens to Jesus' voice, and then he follows. Now, again, caution. None of us follow as closely as we should, and we all get off the path at times. And that's true of me, and that's true of you. But the bottom line is we hear His voice. How do you hear the voice of Jesus? You say, well, I like going backpacking or going for a hike, and I just close my eyes and I listen to Jesus. Yeah, that's true if you have earbuds in and you're listening to your Bible, okay? But if you're just thinking, that's not Jesus talking to you. You must be in the Word to hear the voice of Jesus. And then we follow Jesus. It's important to follow Jesus. That's one way of looking at Christianity. We need God's Word to follow Jesus, John 10:27. We need God's word to run the race. We can look at Christianity as a race, Hebrews chapter 12. Some of you have been thinking about this recently. It says in the first two verses, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How do we run this race called Christianity? Next phrase, fixing our eyes on Jesus. The author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. We run the race by fixing our eyes on Jesus. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean looking at him for encouragement because he finished the race and we too can finish the race by his grace? That certainly could be part of it, no doubt. Does that mean fixing our eyes on him because in our relationship with him we find the strength? Yes, definitely that's included. But we must look to Jesus. And how else do we look to Jesus apart from opening up the Scriptures? So we need God's Word to follow Jesus, John 10:27, to run the race, Hebrews 12:1-2. We need God's Word to grow. And we will not grow apart from spending time in God's Word. All Christians grow. But we grow as we spend time in God's Word. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Again, I think the key New Testament passage on sanctification. We all Christians, with unveiled face, we've come to Christ, beholding as in a mirror, that's the Scriptures, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. God's doing a work of grace in your life when you open up the Scriptures and behold the Lord. That's 2 Corinthians 3:18, another text, 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Some of the younger families here, you have little ones at home, and you're aware of this, and maybe it'll happen even right after the service. The baby will be fussy, and the baby wants another bottle. The baby's longing for milk in the same way Christians long for the Word. Why? Because there's no other way to grow. And so we need God's Word, not only to follow Jesus and run the race, we need God's Word to grow. We need God's Word to be spiritually healthy. Again, I know this is not new, but I just want to kind of do this summary just to try to help us to be reminded of how important this is. The psalmist puts it this way in the first three verses of Psalm 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The psalmist says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. Notice what happens to the guy who's in the Word day and night. He's like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. It doesn't mean hard times don't come. Hard times come to trees planted by streams, but you know what? They are still prospering because the roots hit the water. That's the kind of person that we can be if we're in the Word. The leaf doesn't wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. That's Psalm 1. Not that different from Joshua 1, right? Psalm 1, we need God's Word to be spiritually healthy. Joshua 1, verse 8, we need God's Word to be spiritually prosperous. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. What do we need? We need to be in God's Word. To follow Jesus, John 10:27. Run the race, Hebrews 12:1 and 2. To grow, 2 Corinthians 3:18, 1 Peter 2:2. To be spiritually healthy, Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. And also to be spiritually prosperous. So all of us, just from this quick review, have seen that we need God's Word. Question, how often? How often do we need to be in God's Word? Well, I'm going to submit this evening that we must read God's Word on a regular basis. And by that, I would mean a daily basis. And there's many reasons why, but here's just one. Can we review Psalm 1 one more time? It says in the middle, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Probably that means all day. But if we want to be very literal and just say day and night, at least it's twice a day. So some of you, for example, are familiar with Spurgeon's devotional morning and evening. It's this idea that we would be in God's Word meditating on it day and night. That's at least on a daily basis. Another text, Psalm 119, we've read this recently, right? Verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." And so it would seem a very logical conclusion that we who know Jesus Christ, because we know God and we fellowship with Him and we talk to Him, prayer, we listen to Him, that's the Word, and we recognize how important the Word is in our life, that we would be in the Word on a daily basis. Which is why, if you're a member of Trinity Bible Church, and I want to ask you to raise your hands. I thought about that, but I don't want that to embarrass anyone. If you're a member of Trinity Bible Church, when you joined this local assembly, you read the Constitution and you signed a card that said, "I agree with the Constitution." In our Constitution is a covenant. It's Article 3, and here's what you agreed when you joined Trinity Bible Church, and I quote, "We agree with the help of the Holy Spirit to maintain private and family devotions at home." This is what you agreed to do when you joined Trinity. We're not talking about something that's a good idea, and, you know, maybe this would be something that I think about. We're talking about something that every member of Trinity has agreed to. And I don't know even who the individuals were who necessarily wrote it this way, but when we came to Trinity, this was already in place many years ago. And this is what Nancy and I agreed to when we became members quite a few years ago. This is what you've already pledged to do. It's important that we read God's Word on a regular daily basis. Now, I know that's a lot, and you might already be getting a little discouraged or whatever, and I don't want that to happen, so I just try to think of an illustration. You say, why would I want to read God's Word on a daily basis? Well, maybe just a picture of something to help us to think about this. Who can tell me what this is? Okay? What's going on with this? I know I'm looking at one person who knows this very well. Okay? If you go into my garage, you'll find two of these. All right? These are called battery tenders. Now, most of us have a vehicle, a car, pickup truck, whatever. And we use our vehicles, we drive, and the alternator's continually charging the battery. And so we don't really think about the fact that, you know, my battery could go down because the alternator's charging it. But if you have a motorcycle in your garage that you don't ride as much as you'd like, then in between rides, your battery goes down. So I keep a battery tender on both of my motorcycles 24/7. You say, you have two motorcycles. Well, yeah. Yeah. I have one that I ride a lot with Nancy. We go up. It's something that could take us out of town, and we can go away for a couple days. We'll call that my marriage enrichment bike. Okay. And we don't do a lot of that, so we keep it plugged in. I keep it on a battery tender so that the battery stays charged. And sometimes in the summer, it's a little bit warm, and I don't really want to be on that bike, so I have a second bike. I call it a scooter. It's really kind of small. It's not that big. It just has a two-cylinder motor, 850 cc's, not real big. And I just kind of scoot around town, do a lot of summertime visitation on that kind of thing. And I'm not on either one as much as I would like. You say, so what do? I keep them plugged in. And if you look at the side covers, left side of either bike, you'll find a little plug that looks just like that. and I just pull into the garage and I plug it in. Why? Because I know that every day on a daily basis, that charger needs to be monitoring the health of my battery. And if the battery starts to slip down, it will pick up into a higher charge. And then once the battery is where it needs to be, a little microchip or whatever is in there, backs down. And I thought maybe, I'm not saying that's perfect, but maybe that's a good picture for some of us at least, okay, on why we need to be reading the Bible on a daily basis. Because the moment you come to Christ, we could think of it as, again, not to push it too much, but here the Holy Spirit indwells you, and you want to fellowship with Him on a daily basis, as a battery tender would keep a battery charged on a daily basis. So keeping all of that in mind, even if you don't like the illustration. And I'm fully aware that there are some people, and I'll be frank, who say, I can't even believe you have two motorcycles. I have to admit, sometimes it concerns me because I'd like to have three. And so, but we're just kind of going one step at a time, okay? So what I want to do tonight is I want to be very, very practical as a pastor teacher. And I want to address reading God's Word. And some of what I'm giving you is going to be opinion. And you might kind of prefer to do it differently. I have no problem with that. If you come up to me after the service and say, Greg, I would never do it that way, I would say, no problem. Tell me what you're doing. And I don't mind whatever you say. Just tell me you're doing something and I'll say, praise God. If you say, well, I don't really like the way you mention it, and I say, okay, so what are you doing? And you say, I don't, we have a problem. But if you're reading the Word a different way, God bless you. And you know it's been such a blessing to you that you're glad I'm bringing a message like this tonight. Here's what we're going to do so I don't forget to mention this later on. I'm going to go over some very basic ideas on reading God's Word on a daily basis. And then 1 week from today, in all of our Bible study classes, junior high and up, the teachers have been asked to have a discussion on how to engage in Bible reading on a daily basis, both as individuals and as families. And for those who are here, you've already received an email, but let me just remind you, if you want the slides from this message, just to give you something to start from, just email the office, and they'd be glad to send that to you. And the hope would be, next week when you come into Bible study before the morning service, you'll be encouraged because you'll hear some of your brothers and sisters say, you know, we tried this, but it kind of didn't work. And then we tried this and it didn't go so well. But then we did this and it really seemed to be a blessing. And you'll be able to share those good ideas with one another and pray for one another. And that's what we're planning, Lord willing, a week from now. Here's some things to consider in reading God's Word. You say, where do you begin? This will be very simple. You begin with a plan. You have to have a plan. You've heard this before, right? Failing to plan is planning to fail. If I don't plan to do something, the bottom line is it doesn't get done. So what am I planning? Just very simple. Which translation are you going to read? You may want to consider a different translation. One of our more mature people who has read a King James Bible his whole life and who prefers strongly a King James Bible, and you know from my preaching, I have no problem with that, came up to me recently and said, Greg, can I say something to you? And I thought, okay. And he said, you know, I've pretty much read a King James Bible my whole life, but I want to be honest with you. Bible reading has always been a challenge for me. I started reading a modern translation, and now I get it. It's going better than ever. And that was not code for you shouldn't read a King James Bible. If that's what you're reading and it's going well for you, God bless you. Never stop. But one brother thought about changing his translations. I know one brother whose his goal is to read a different translation every year because he finds that helps him. So you're going to have to pick a translation. We had a message a couple weeks ago on what is the best translation. And you could go back and listen to that if you'd like. Secondly, what portion are you going to read? If you're reading the Bible, you need to have a plan. You just don't open up every day. But you need to decide in advance what portion of the Scripture you're going to read. Can I suggest that at least you read books. You might say, okay, I want to read the New Testament, I want to read the Old Testament. You might say, I just want to read Romans again and again. That's great. But you would start from the beginning of Romans and go through the end of Romans. Or you would start in the beginning of Ephesians and go to the end of Ephesians. Start in the beginning of Genesis, go to the end of Genesis. And don't just open up randomly. God breathed out words in books. And there's a reason for that. And so however you'd like to do it, you would consider, where am I going to read? And everyone has different preferences on this, but I always ask people, have you ever read through the New Testament? And if you've never read through the whole New Testament, Matthew to Revelation, I'd encourage you, that would be a great goal. Maybe this year, by God's grace, I'll read through the whole New Testament. And you might say, that is a wonderfully high goal for a person who's never done that. And can I address those of us that have been saved a little longer? Have you read through the whole Bible? And began in Genesis and go all the way to Revelation. I'm not saying you have to do it every single year, but have you done it? You say, why would I want to? It keeps you off of hobby horses. It keeps you from going to the things you really, really like and ignoring the things that you're not so excited about. It recognizes that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, the parts I kind of like reading more than others. And I would like to think that there comes a time in our spiritual life where all of us would read the entire Bible. Doesn't mean you have to do it again and again and again. And some of you would say, Greg, I've been through the whole Bible 4, 5, 6, 10 more times. Praise God. And maybe you'd want to continue or do something different, but you would have a plan. And then next, how long would you read? How much would you read? And some people might say, well, I'm not concerned with how much, but I'm going to just kind of budget 15 minutes. That's great. Others would say, I'm going to try to read one chapter a day. That's great. You'd want to think that through. How long do you read? How much do you read? And then where will you read? And when will you read? Is it going to be in the morning? You see, I'm not a morning person. And I would never say, well, get over it and become. No, if you're not a morning person, I mean, don't fight it. Deal with reality. Are you an evening person? You say, I'm not an evening person. Are you a lunchtime person? Okay. You say, well, I struggle with. Well, what would be the best time for you to read? You can always find a time. I thank the Lord for my mother, who became a believer before me, in a home where she is married to my dad, who I love very much, who is incredibly antagonistic to her faith in Christ. And so as my mom would go to work, what did she do? She just took her Bible to work. She was a secretary, and she would just every day at lunch sit at her desk with her open Bible, read her Bible, and eat her lunch. That way she doesn't have to have unneeded conflict with my dad. And that's what she did daily for years and years and years. Now, maybe that works for you. Maybe something else works. You say, you're really into having a plan. Proverbs 12:27 says this. A lazy man does not roast his prey, but the precious possession of a man is diligence. A lazy man is the kind of guy who goes out and, again, maybe whatever, gets his prey hunting. And then he's not focused on a plan on how to put that meat up, or however one would say that. It's a precious possession for a person to have diligence. So reading God's word, what do we need? A plan. Secondly, we need to pray. Because no matter how much we plan, right, we need the Lord to help us. You say, okay, so before you read your Bible, you would pray. Absolutely. It's not a routine. It's not just a tradition. Tradition is not bad. It's not just a tradition that every time before I preach, I pray. Because what we're doing is we're looking at a book that's filled with supernatural words. What would you pray in your Bible reading? Many of you have prayed this. Psalm 119:18, open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And so you have your plan. You pray, Lord, would you help me? So we have a plan. We pray and then do it. Proceed, if we could just have a third point. And begin your regular daily Bible reading. You say, it's hard. I know. But by God's grace, you can do it. And I want to give you some practical encouragements. So I'll call this next point practical encouragement. You say, what should I do as far as reading? This is so crucial. Start small. Start small. I've talked to so many people. Hey, are you guys having family devotions? No. Okay. Are you concerned about that? Yeah, you know, Greg, we've tried. Okay, can we talk about it? Because I want to help you. Yeah. You tell me, what would you like to do for family devotions? And I have guys say to me, well, I think it would be a good thing if we would take a chapter and then work our way through that chapter. And then after we discuss the chapter, maybe we could look at a commentary and we could really study and talk about this. I say, seriously, no wonder you're not having devotions, right? It's not going to work. That is not a realistic plan. Start small. So many people have these big plans and they do it maybe once or twice. And then the next night they don't have an hour. And then they don't do them and they get discouraged and they say, see, this doesn't work. I've used the illustration before. If you've ever built a snowman, how do you do it? You make a snowball the size of a baseball. And then you pack it and it's a softball. And then you begin to roll it a little bit at a time. And maybe it's the size of a soccer ball. And it slowly gets larger and larger as you roll it. And you get momentum through consistency. Start small. And make a very, very small goal. You may say, well, I know people, they have devotions, and they read like one verse a day. You know what I say? I say, praise God. And maybe one day it'll really encourage them, and they'll say, I'm going to go for 2 verses a day. And 3 verses a day. That's wonderful. Better to do something very small consistently than to say, I would never do that. That's not spending time in God's Word. Well, what good is that if you're not spending time at all in God's Word? Start small. Secondly, don't beat yourself up when you miss. You know, we set goals because we want to live for Christ and we want to fellowship with Him. You say, yeah, but I wanted to have devotions. And this week, you know, Greg, in my Bible reading, I've read the Bible only 3 times. I'm saying, praise God. How many times did you read it last week? You say, well, last week I kind of didn't at all. And you set a goal of this week doing it every day, and you only did 3 days. Yeah, so I missed 4. Forget you missed 4. Praise God you hit 3. And give thanks for that. And then you say, yeah, but I feel kind of bad that I got off track and I just got concerned with things that are distractions. And spiritually, I kind of turned my back on the Lord a little bit and I just got too into my hobby or into my sports or into my whatever it is. Well, okay, well, ask the Lord to forgive you. He forgives you. Then get a new start. But don't beat yourself up. Be thankful for any time you have spent in the Word. And then thirdly, don't get discouraged over what you don't understand. You know, people sometimes will say to me, I read the Bible and there's just so many things that I don't understand. Give thanks for what you do understand. And if you read through a portion of Scripture and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things, you say, wow, I'm not even sure what those things mean. Okay, that's fine. But I'll bet you there's something in there that you do understand. And the more you read the things you don't understand, the more in time they will become more clear. And God's Spirit will help you as time goes on. Start small. Don't beat yourself up when you miss. Don't get discouraged over what you don't understand. But have a plan. And pray and begin. And you can do this by God's grace. Remember, members of Trinity, you've already agreed you would do this. You can have a regular time in the Scriptures. And we call that frequently devotions or whatever term you'd like to use. Now, you also remember that when I read what we agreed to in our covenant, that we also agreed to have family devotions. You say, why in the world would you do that? Well, just one way of applying Deuteronomy 6, right? Verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. We should be talking openly about God's word. One way to do that is to also have family devotions. I'd like to address family devotions. And again, it was really a comment, and the person who made this comment is here tonight, and I was glad that he freely made it to me. It's not a negative at all, and I've had many people say this. Greg, I grew up in a Christian home. We never had family devotions, not one time. Now, again, remember, Nancy and I, we're not from Christian homes. So we have heard that we should have family devotions, and we've struggled with that through the years, just as many of you have had. So maybe you're from a Christian home and you've never seen it lived out. Maybe you are from a Christian home where people have struggled. Maybe things are going well. But I want to encourage you tonight. This is kind of a repeat. You say, how can we have family devotions? Look, have a brief, simple plan. Keep it simple. In our home through the years, the goal has been 5 days a week. Our goal was to have family devotions on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday we're here for Bible study, prayer meeting. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday we're here for the morning Bible hour. Then we're here for the morning worship service and we're here for the evening worship service. So we decided, you don't have to do it this way, that our goal would be to have family devotions 5 times a week. That was our goal. Have a brief, simple plan. You say, did you hit that every week? Not even close. But many weeks we did, and there's all the weeks we say, okay, to be frank, we only did 4 this week, or 3, but I'm thankful for that. Have a brief, simple plan. Secondly, involve the whole family. It's family devotions. So you would have everyone come together and everybody participate, thirdly, in an age-appropriate way. And so you're thinking about especially the younger children. Where are they at spiritually? You say, well, I don't know where they're at, but in our house, we're going to read through the Bible. Our family's going to read through the Bible. You know, just I'm not saying that's wrong. But is that going to bless your family? We're reading through this genealogy in Chronicles. That's where we're at. I don't care that you're 3. Sit up. Well, now again, if you in your heart believe that honors the Lord, it's your home. But maybe in an age-appropriate way, there would be a different way to maybe take a simple verse that the child could relate to. And thus, again, in a simple way, in an age-appropriate way, involving the whole family. And then fourthly, be flexible. Be flexible. I think family devotions, part of it is hard because you have to get everyone together. I remember when our girls were young, we've always had sports in our home, and the 3 girls played a lot of soccer. We have had family devotions in the van more than once because we're coming home at night, and it's maybe 9 o'clock if I'm thinking right, and it's Nance, me, 3 girls in the van. And by the time we get home and everybody gets showered up and takes baths or whatever, it's late. So, hey, guys, girls, Daddy would like to have Bible time. We call it Bible time instead of family devotions. But Daddy would like to have Bible time in the van tonight. Can we do that? Yeah. And then I would go over a verse and we'd talk about it. We'd share praises, prayer requests, and then I would pray. And I would, you know, just say, girls, is it okay if Daddy prays? Is it okay if Daddy prays with his eyes open? Okay. And yeah, okay, and so we would do that. And that's okay. Be flexible. And remember, it's okay to enjoy it. You know, I've often thought, and I'm sure the girls might say, Dad, sometimes this didn't happen, but many times perhaps. But my goal is that they would be encouraged by it. And my goal wasn't to say, we read this much, we did it. But that it would be something that would maybe bless them and help them. And if it leads to a conversation, that's good. And certainly, if I could throw one more practical in for family devotions, don't make the kids hate it. We're going to have family devotions in this house every night. It's 10 o'clock. You wake up. And think about what we're doing. More than once, as it's been very late, and the kids are coming in, or whatever the case may be. You know, guys, we haven't had family devotions yet. I know it's late. Would it be okay if we don't do that tonight? Could Daddy just pray tonight? And they've never once said, no, we demand devotions in this house. Okay, I hope that wasn't too personal to share. But, you know, there's something about consistency that at least Daddy acknowledged we should have devotions. And I just say a simple prayer. You say, Greg, could you give me some basic maybe kind of ways that you've had family devotions? And again, this would apply for you married couples without children as well. We've tried so many different things. For a while we got in a group, we would read one proverb a day based on the date. On the second of the month, read Proverbs 2. Third of the month, read Proverbs 3. You say, how do you read? I found the best thing that worked for us is we alternated verses. So I read verse 1, Nancy reads verse 2, Ange reads verse 3, Steph reads verse 4, Chris reads verse 5. Why? Because it limits the opportunity to daydream. I mean, people are people. And I find out if I read the whole passage, I look up, and somehow I get the sense that people aren't with me. Okay? And so if we go in a circle and we each read a verse, you say, well, what do you do with it? Again, you may do better than this. I'm just telling you what we have done. We alternate in a circle, everybody reading a verse. We read the proverb. And then I say, okay, everybody, pick one. And you pick the verse you like. And you say why you like it. I like this verse because I like this verse because I like. And at least we're talking about the word and reading the word. We've done that many times. There have been times where we would have as a goal to read through a gospel. And our goal would be to read through a chapter a night of the gospel. Some of those chapters get longer. I cut it in half. And then we do the same thing. We read alternating verses. And I'd ask each person, including me, what's your verse? Everybody pick a verse. Why did you pick that verse? And they comment on it. We've tried this before. Hey, does everybody want to read their Bibles now? Kind of do your own devotions. And then we're all together. And then you could share what you've learned. Well, again, tried that a little bit. That didn't go so well for us because sometimes, hey, let's all sit together and do our devotions. Well, Daddy, I already did mine. Well, but I haven't done mine. Okay, so do I have to sit where I was there while she does hers? I don't know, you know. But maybe that would be something that would work for you. Let me share probably what we've done more than anything, and it's what we're doing in our house right now. We take the Trinity Bible Church memory verse. And what, now, again, my daughters, obviously, well, not obviously, you may not know, but now I have one who's out of the house. I have two young adults that still live in our home. And they're sometimes staying out late, you know. And I'm ready to go to bed, and they're not even home yet. And so they come home, and it's late. So what do? I just, hey, girls, can we have Bible time? That's what we call it. And we get together normally in my study. And all we do is read out loud the memory verse. So I'll say, girls, can we recite the verse out loud? And we say, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. We read that generally three times. Once we get it down a little bit, we read it twice. And then I'll ask simple questions. What does it mean? And I just, Steffi, what does it mean to trust in the Lord? Okay. Chrissy, what does it mean to lean on your own understanding? And they tell me. Okay, Nance, can you give us an example of somebody who's trusting in the Lord? Okay, Steph, can you give me an example of someone who's leaning on their own understanding? I just ask a couple questions. That's good. You say, what do you do next? We go in a circle. Okay, how about if we share praises? And if it's late, just one each. If it's early, we go three each. Praises, okay, I just got used to going young to oldest. Chrissy, praise, good. Steph, yeah, Nance, good. Then my praise. And we each share one thing we're thankful for, and then we each share a prayer request. Chrissy, what's your prayer request? Steffi, what's your prayer request? Nance, what's your prayer request? Okay, here's my prayer request. And then we pray, youngest to oldest. And then we go, Chris, Steph, Nance, me, unless it's really late. And then I say, hey, girls, you know what? I know it's late, and I know you got that big test or whatever. How about if Daddy just prays for the request tonight? You say, how long does that normally take? I'm thinking, honey, is 15 minutes accurate? I don't think it goes over 15 as a rule. Maybe sometimes even 10 minutes to go over a verse out loud two times. I ask maybe each person one question, simple questions. And then we each give one praise, we each give one request, and then each person prays. Each prayer, I'm guessing, would typically be maybe less than a minute long. And we have family devotions. And for those of you saying, Greg, man, in our house, we do so much more than that. I say this with complete sincerity. God bless you. And I'm glad for you. And I hope you continue to do better. That's I rejoice with you. My heart tonight is based on the conversations that I'm having with people. There are a lot of homes where maybe this isn't taking place. And so I want to say a word to encourage dads tonight. If there is family devotions in a home, dad, praise God. And if there's not, then dad, this is your job. And as the leader in your home, you would want to begin this. If you're a member, you've already agreed, but it doesn't mean you have to be a member to do this. And dad, you would want to do it. And I completely understand, honestly. If you're a guy and you're sitting here tonight and this is not going on at all in your house and your wife's here and your kids are here, right now it's like, great, what do they think of dad? You know what they think of dad? They probably think you're just like them. And you want to follow Christ. But it's hard. So just admit it. Hey, honey. Hey, kids. Daddy should have been doing devotions. I know that. But I'm so glad Jesus died on a cross for me. And I'm so glad that God forgives me. Aren't you glad He forgives you? So this is a new start. Daddy's not perfect. Never pretended to be. No shame in that. Jesus died to take our shame. Dads, sit down with your family. Talk to your wife first. And then say, this is what we want to do. And I want to be gentle on this. Greg, my wife's not on board. Okay, just let it go. You don't need your wife there. Don't push her. Don't give her a hard time. As a dad, you can say to your children, hey, guys, just for 10 minutes, we're going to have a family time. Daddy, where's mom? Well, she's not joining us. Why not? Hey, look, come on. We're going to spend 10 minutes together. And don't you worry about mom. Let's just spend our time worshiping the Lord. Dads, you spend time with the children and let God deal with your wife. Don't push her. Don't fight her. You just do that. I may be wrong, but I'm guessing once it happens consistently, mom's going to be saying, you know, could I join? You say, okay, how about the other way? Moms, don't usurp your husband's place in the home. If this isn't happening in your home, don't grab the children and say, we're doing this because dad won't. What you want to do is say to your husband, I know you love the Lord and I know you love me and I want to encourage you. Would you be willing to lead us in family devotions? I know that's intimidating, but maybe we could just kind of do like Pastor Greg said. Maybe we could just read the memory verse and then each share one praise and pray and that's all. But would you be willing, honey, to do that? And encourage your husband to take the leadership that God wants him to take. You say, what if he won't? Ask his permission if you may lead. And then you lead with his permission. Single moms, then this would be your responsibility because there's not a husband in the home to do this. This is what we all should be striving for together. And that's why in our Constitution it says we agree with the help of the Holy Spirit to maintain private and family devotions at home. You say, why? Because Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Salvation is a relationship with God. We talk, that's pray. We listen, that's the word. We all must be actively doing this as Christians, which means coming to the place, as Job did in Job 23, verse 12, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Remember again, next week, in the Bible study / Sunday school morning time, before the morning service, every class is going to talk about how to practically encourage one another to have personal devotions and family devotions in the home. You don't have to be a member of the class. The classes are open. If you've never come to any of those classes, you're welcome. Just show up next week at, 9:30 they begin. And we'd be glad to make some suggestions on what would be a good class. And all of the classes would welcome you as you seek to continue in your relationship with Jesus Christ.